Thank you, brother. Brother Ernie, we appreciate that. You just remember, there are many places in Scripture where the people were caught. And I think you'll find just about every time it ended in their destruction. It's not wise to be caught in those places that are a trap to us. Now we want to just look at a little Scripture here before we go to the table of the Lord. In Matthew 27, 33 to 44. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now over in John the 5th chapter, we can get the reason why they actually crucified him. And you notice there in verse 39 of John 5, "Search the Scriptures, from them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And also in 45 and 46, "Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." And then in John 7, 52, they answered and said, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And then in John 9, 29, "For we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." Now that's not a conglomerate of Scripture I read to you. What we're actually looking at, the reason that Jesus Christ was crucified, as we said many times, it was not for the good deeds that he did. It was not for the life that he lived. It was not his daily walk and his daily conduct. It was what he testified to, which was the Scripture fulfilled in him, making him that living Word of God which came to pass in human flesh for the redemption of the sheep that were lost. So Jesus was thoroughly misunderstood by his revelation and by his interpretation of Scripture. Now, these people positively were able to search the Scripture. Now, Jesus said to them, "Search the Scripture and see, because in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." And he also said, "Moses spoke of me," and they didn't take that. They said, "Well, we know Moses, but we don't know you. We know of Moses." Now, my question to those people is, well, how do you know Moses was right? What authority do you have? Well, they would say, well, the authority is that Moses came vindicated. Well, tell me where this fellow wasn't vindicated. See, you can be a corrupt heathen and a despicable sinner, an absolute reprobate, be very religious, and you can assume that you know the Scripture. Now, he said, if you search the Scripture, and then you will know that I am that one. Now, notice how they turned around to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, "Does our law judge a man before and pass sentence before he's brought to court?" They sneered, said, "Are you one of those that believe too? Search the Scripture. For out of Galilee, there doesn't come any prophet." See? For out of Was out of Galilee? Yeah. Out of Galilee there doesn't come any prophet. Well, if they were so good at searching the scripture and condemning Jesus, how come they didn't search and find that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea? See, they were absolutely corrupt. And as Brother Ernie said, they were crystallized. They come to a place and they couldn't get out of it. Now, what place did they come to? They came to the place of crucifying unto themselves through the Word of God a misinterpretation, a wicked interpretation, the very instruction of the devil, because Jesus called him serpent seed. The serpent seed were condemning, blaming others and blaming Jesus for being a serpent seed. You know, the people said, is not this the son of David? They said, no, he's the other guy. What other guy? The devil's child. Called him serpent seed. See? Now, this is what communion is all about. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word. Strictly, the revelation, which was true, was Jesus' own death. Our revelation, which we have of Him vindicated and true, is our life. It doesn't cost us our life. It cost us the life we used to live, but it doesn't cost us this life, and doesn't cost us eternal life. It cost Jesus His life because He stood the Word. It cost Peter his life. He stood of the Word. Isaiah, they chopped to pieces because of the Word. See? Moses repudiated because of the Word. Paul destroyed because of the Word. Thomas went, did you? Killed because of the Word. Stephen martyred because of the Word. It had nothing to do with their conduct. Their conduct was fine. And you'll find many fine people today take the Lord's Supper and they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh. They're doing it right down the line because you cannot take Lord's Supper legitimately without being truly born again, and you cannot be truly born again without being full of the Holy Ghost, and you cannot be full of the Holy Ghost unless you are truly one with that Word. And truly one with that Word is just truly one with the Word. And you have to believe that, and we do believe it. If there's any error, the Word will correct the error. You've seen that in this pulpit. I've gone to the Word for every correction. I've never had any trouble, and I will not have any trouble, and none of us have any trouble. Why? Because the bride is absolutely under that blood, which makes her perfect in the sight of God. Nobody else is under that blood. If you are repent, baptized in water, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no two ways about it. You will be totally filled, filling ourselves word by word, but the life is in there. And one day that life will take over. It'll take over. When will it take over? Just the same as with Elijah. Just the same as with Elijah. Just the same as with Enoch. Because as the full cup of iniquity comes on the scene, the full cup of righteousness comes on the scene, there's going to be somebody lifted up above it all. That fulfilled word. Each time, there's always a Mount Carmel showdown. There had to be a Mount Carmel showdown at the time of Noah. We don't know too much about it. Mount Carmel showdown at the time of Elijah. There's been a Mount Carmel showdown with William Branham. Absolutely American, India, everything represented. The whole world condemned. Who's free to take the table, Lord, and say, I'm going to meet Him in the morning over there and drink with Him? Only the bride. So that's the story tonight again of the old-fashioned communion service. I am one of His. He is one with me, and I am one with the Father, same as He is. And I'm partaker tonight of Him. Eat His flesh and drink His blood. Stand right here taking those emblems, knowing the eternal life of God is in us. Completely redeemed, ready for the new bodies. Well, listen, brother, sister. No wonder Brother Branham said, take this message as your healing. But the word healing is sozo, which is complete deliverance, absolute wholeness, absolute unity. Right back. And thank God the interruption that Eve caused is just about all over. The interruption and the disruption is all over. It's got to be. There's a bride waiting to be taken out of here. So let's rise at this time to come forward and take the emblems which the Lord has set before us and then enter into foot washing. Let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, at this time we enter in this part of the service, which we're so happy to have fellowship around tonight, around this bread, or communion of the bread, the communion of the wine. So happy to have fellowship, Lord, because our fellowship is with You and now with each other, with the sweet Spirit of Jesus Christ coming in and making unity and oneness as never before, a brotherly kindness manifested to forgive everybody his sin, to forget everybody anything we've had been insulted with, any time we've been put at naught, anything, Lord, that we our pride has been hurt, anything, Lord, where our thoughts and words which have been good have been put to one side. Help us, Lord, to get rid of all pettiness, and now with sobriety, Lord God, with forgiving spirit, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the blood of Jesus Christ covering us, helping us through this passage, Lord, of the Red Sea right into the kingdom of Almighty God. No more detours. Lord, help everyone tonight to put every single thing aside, but that unity in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood making is perfect, the Holy Ghost binding us together, and every member one of each other. And now, Lord God, coming out to a place without bothering people to confess this and confess that, having been displayed, but in the heart tonight, Lord, say it's all gone, it's all done away with, everything under the blood, the Holy Spirit fresh and oil and all upon this bread tonight, Lord God in heaven, as a beautiful loaf unto thee waved before thee, O God. You can say, this is my people. We can say, there is our God. How we praise you tonight for this opportunity. And these things would look so mundane to stand right here and know this is what it's all about, and we're a part of it. We give thee glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the brethren come. Heavenly Father, these emblems now in holy hands, not because the men are holy, but Lord, you are holy, and the Holy Spirit here, giving them the privilege and all of us to hold these emblems here and then partake of them. Lord God, sanctify them, we pray. Bless them, we pray, to the people. And may every single thing that it stands for come into rich, beautiful blessing and being in a higher sphere than ever before, because thou art God, and we're approaching closer and closer to your kingdom fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we're going to go, I just feel suddenly led to go back here to the book of John, and we find here that the foot washing scene, and then after the foot washing scene, you know, we have the Lord's Supper, and then the betrayal. And you notice that the betrayal never took place until after the foot washing scene and the communion service, wherein Jesus washed their feet, even the feet of Judas, and then gave him the sop that was the piece of bread that was dipped into the wine, which I understand is given to the chief guest or the one you're pointing out for something or other. And anyway, my thought on that was that this man Judas was ordained to be a part of those that were the true disciples of God. And I don't believe for 1 minute that it's possible for anybody to in the church to really betray the church or people in the church, even the bride, except you have somebody in the group. There must be somebody that's, you know, that type of person, like we see here with Judas. Now, just looking at it here in 21, he said, when Jesus had said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then lying on Jesus' breast said, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after this sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake unto this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said, buy those things that we have need against the feast, for that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. And therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet while I am with you, you shall seek me. As I said to the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, ye have loved one for another. Now this setting here could sort of lead some of us to believe that you're going to see a purification of the people that claim to be the disciples of Christ. They will, like Judas, give themselves up in a way because they carry the bag. It's a money scheme. The money is the important thing to them. Going by numbers and crowds and so on, rather than by the fact of a dedication to the Word of Almighty God and the dedication to the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. But I really can't say that as though that has to happen. All I know is that there isn't anybody that can betray anybody unless that person actually has some kind of an access to something which is feasible, at that time that is going on or present with the people. For instance, I really believe the greatest enemies we have today, if you want to use the term enemies or the problem we have today that faces us, is actually that which is amongst us, where you have people that are not content with staying in their place where they belong, just being, as Brother Branham said, you have everything you need to put you in the rapture now. There's nothing that's been hidden from you. There's no parables. There's no secrets. There's no dark things. It's all been made clear. I'm paraphrasing now. It's all been made clear. The mysteries of God have been revealed. The corrections have been brought in. And now we are in a position, whereby that we just live good Christian lives. And Paul back there had a problem with personalities. And personalities will rise up, and always they will claim like a revelation superior, different to somebody else's, and thereby foment trouble. And the trouble usually rises up by saying, well, you're not part of this word. And you're not part of this word. And I know that's a very bad thing that comes against the Branhamites, and I'm very much a part of that problem myself, because I'm very much of a sticker for the letter of the word that Brother Branham preached, as well as the spiritual, because to me, you start with the letter of the word and you go to the spiritual, because if I did not know the alphabet, I would never be able to put words together. I couldn't spell the words. I couldn't read the words. And so it is that Brother Branham spoke of the fact that people didn't know their ABCs. Why would he try to teach them gifts? In other words, until the people were thoroughly inured with the Word of God, they really knew the truth of the Word of God. They really understood what church discipline really was, what was really required of the people in the worship of God. The basics, how in the world was he going to then introduce these other things which are not extraneous at all? They're there, but they are not the elementary building blocks, so that the people that try to build upon the church, upon that which is not the elementary building blocks, the thing just caves and crumbles in. It just goes to pieces. You simply don't find what you really need. So I look around and I think, well, I really don't know what the future holds. I really don't understand exactly all the things that are going to take place. All I know is, if we go step by step with this word, it really doesn't matter if anybody betrays us as Christ and the disciples were betrayed. It really doesn't matter. It's got to come from within, that's for sure, because it came from within there. There's got to be someone go along until the time comes. You have the witness all in. This man said so, and so that man did such and such. You've got to see that there's going to be a pressure which comes down. There's got to be somebody from within that would exploit anything whatsoever that would lead to the pressure. Now, you've also got the same thing that's been fomented all the time amongst us. And ever since I've been in this message, you've got the thing on marriage and divorce. You've got the thing, well, if a man proposed a woman and they broke up, well, they're really married and all that sort of jazz. Well, they're not really married. If you really believe that and you want to pull that on the law, you go ahead and you'll find out that you're way outside the law. Then if you're outside the law, there's something wrong with you, because God says stay within the law. So you've got to stay within the law. So there's many things that can crop up, where people can do things what I would consider not to be legitimate. But I suppose if they're convinced in their own mind, that's a different story there. But here we find that this man Judas was not really one of them, but he hung around for the reason that he was supposed to. Let's face it, it was ordained to God that he be part of it. But he had to stay there till the hour of betrayal. And I suppose myself, if I take this as an actual example, when we take communion, which signifies really the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, the shedding of the blood for sins, it would be very remiss on our part to ever put it in any other situation than that very situation, that this is honoring his death, but not his resurrections. Easter, and celebrating Easter as we do today, which is, Brother Branham put it in its right context. Easter is a pagan holiday, but what we do, we use it right. We use that little day as the right thing. Celebrating his resurrection, which we do. But when you talk about his death, you talk about the fact that he was betrayed. And you know that somewhere there's going to be a betrayal. That the apostles were betrayed. There isn't anybody that somehow in other is not betrayed. And I'm looking at this end time church, that there's a spirit of betrayal, no doubt. And there'll be betrayals amongst us. There'll be people who say they believe and they don't really believe. And you can tell that by the fact that that people I know, I've known over the years in this message, I've been with Brother Branham way back since 1953, and been a friend of his till the time that he died. And I've seen many, many people that they said they believed, but when it came down to reality, there wasn't a real understanding there. And so we're kind of like a divided people, though we believe Brother Branham in our own way, perhaps. But there's always going to be something in there that gives us a problem. And so we find that those rose up at that time of Jesus Christ in order to betray. And there will be a betrayal. There's no doubt about it. There'll be people to sell out. I've seen them sell out already. I've seen them do things which most people would say, well, shouldn't be done. But they actually betrayed it. And so there are those that, as I say, at this end time, will be here, and they will not be one of us in the sense of the Spirit of the living God. There'll be problems, but that's not to be worried about. Those things have to be here. The thing is that until the resurrection take place and the bride is caught away, I don't think anyone has a right to believe that everything is going to be all, you know, roses and beautiful, you know, palm fronds waving and we're all going to go to heaven on beds of ease. I don't believe that. I believe there's coming a showdown. I don't know what it's going to be. I believe we've already had a showdown to a great respect. There's a turning toward the Lord in this message. There's a turning away. But I look forward to that in the sense that there could well be things that happen to us down the road that will make some of us really wonder what it's all about. On the other hand, I believe without a doubt a true bride we'll just use that to be all the stronger. As Brother Branham said, every time the oak is shaken, its roots go deeper and deeper until the oak cannot be shaken. So there'll be shakings coming. There'll be things coming our way, but I don't think we need to put our time upon them and worry about them. I believe the thing to do is to just put our branches down, our roots down rather deeper and deeper until we are so solidly grounded that no matter what happens, and even though, like Judas left, there was conjecture, nobody understood till it was all over. It wasn't made clear to them what was happening even in the time of Judas betrayed them. I don't know if they really understood until after the resurrection what had really happened. But you notice that some of them just merely put their roots down deeper and deeper. So whatever is happening to us in this hour, and I know time is going on rapidly, there's got to be things happen to us that's going to cause divisions, no doubt even greater than we've seen, problems that will cause us to either turn our back on the things of the Lord and say, I can't take any more, walk off. Or there's going to be this strengthening process where we just go and say, hey, what's your true life anyway? This is what it's all about. And we go on, just like these disciples. Now, these disciples did not have the same revelation they had after the resurrection. They had a good revelation, but it was good enough to take them to that point. But then after the resurrection, they had a greater revelation. Perhaps we're the same way. We're looking perhaps for some things today that aren't going to be our law. Many times we focus on things and think that, well, this is what it's going to be. But you know, the thing to do is to just stay with the Word as we have it in this hour. That's all. That's what I'm trying to get across tonight. If we just stay with the Word, don't worry about people, don't worry about anything. Just look at the Word as we have it. Has been taught to us by the prophet, and just keep on going. And if it comes our day when we have to drink a very bitter cup, well, that's all right. We wouldn't be the first ones that died. We wouldn't be the first ones if we have to be thrown on the street. We were the first ones. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that at this hour, which we're entering into, this last hour here, I kind of liken it to the apostles, those 12, one of which deserted them. And here they were with the Word at that time, waiting to go on. Now, that's the way we are. We're waiting to go on. And that's all I feel we should do, is just keep on going on, not asking too many questions. The more you ask questions, the deeper you get involved in your doubts. But to just believe simply going on day by day, and no matter what happens, keep trusting the Lord. I thought by now myself we should be out of here. We're not out of here. Now I'm thinking likely I'll die and be buried. My thinking could be entirely wrong. Just because I'm 81, going on more and more until I get up to the Lord tarries. I hope I don't live to be 90. But the thing is, what if we kept going on? You just can't look at yourself. You've got to look at the Lord here in His work and just keep going on, because we don't have all the answers as far as our own pilgrimage is concerned, moment by moment. But we have the answer tonight. They were with the living Word. They saw what they needed completely fulfilled. They saw their own hopes go, but they saw the Word of God superior and come back and fulfill everything the Word said exactly as it should be. We're in the same position tonight. We've seen so many things that didn't come to pass. We've heard of so many things that didn't really help us. And now we're at this place where the apostles were. We're waiting for the imminence of the resurrection. That's what they were in, that position. They were waiting. They saw their hopes disappear, but you know, they saw it come back. And now that's where we are today too. So many things are trying us, so many things are hitting us. Like the other day, I was just looking at Scripture. And one of the Scriptures that came to me very, very strong was that what happened at the end time. If you look at the plagues in the Bible, the plagues that are mentioned there, that come upon the people that turn from God. And I was wondering, as I looked at even the people that I would believe as bride, counting myself and others, that we're a part of this kingdom of Almighty God. We're just waiting for the resurrection and the rapture. And I look at the problems that are amongst us physically, and I begin to think, now why in the world do we have those problems? And I don't have an answer for you. Because some of those things from the Old Testament, particularly, I'm going back in type, you see, to the Old Testament, those were things that were part of the curse. And if the curse is removed through Christ upon Calvary, I wonder at times, why do some of these things take place? I don't have the answer for them. I wish I could tell you I've been certified by the Lord in the Scripture. There's certain things that bother me. They don't bother me too much. They just bother me to the extent that I don't have a clear answer to them. And I wonder, now, if that was under the curse of the Old Testament, and I'm seeing things happen today, which the curse would of Calvary would obliterate and obviate. I begin to wonder, well, just a minute now. Are we out of line somewhere with the Word? Now, we could be, not in our understandings much, but in the application of faith, a more active faith. I don't know. I only know one thing, and that is this. A true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ will be taken over to the other side. He will make it, because it's already made in Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we take the Lord's Supper, and that's what I'm looking at, I believe in that. There are the emblems that Paul the Apostle said. If we take with a pure heart, with a clean conscience, our attitudes right, get wrong motivation out of the way, get all these things out of the way that should be out of the way, you won't need to worry about anyone like Judas upsetting the apple cart. You won't need to worry about emotions and all these other things. But get our hearts clear before the Lord with the real understanding of His grace and His mercy and His power to us who believe, wherein we can walk the Christian road here as Christians after His resurrection, full of the Holy Ghost, which we are, to really walk in that light, to bypass the Corinthian church, to be utterly beyond it, to be into the Ephesian church, which is where we should be at this time, under the true ministry, under the power of the Holy Spirit, with God Almighty dealing with us, building us up in the most holy faith, counting ourselves in there and living there as we take communion. That's the affirmation that we have, that we are in that Ephesian church. And Brother Branham made a big distinction. He said Paul didn't write to them as he wrote to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a carnal church. We look around today and we see a lot of carnality. But there is a spiritual church, which is the Ephesian church. And my thought tonight is, on this Lord's Supper, can we come to the place where we abandon the Corinthian church? Abandon and go into the Ephesian church. where you're past the baptism with the Holy Ghost because you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Where you're coming up now to that full stature. See? Where we're beyond these things that are divisive and these things that are so mundane. And not just mundane, but sometimes have a connotation of the monetary. To get over all these things and just begin to be just sweet Christians in Christ, plying our trade, doing our work, our mind on Him, our thoughts on being service to others, not what others can do for us, what we can do for them. Looking around to see where we could be pleasing to the Lord, not as carnal laborers who are legalistic and try to make things function, but knowing we are a functional people in the Holy Spirit, the children of God, to begin to enter into this more blessed life that I believe He has for us. So that's my thought tonight on the Lord's Supper, and I trust tonight that somehow in partaking these emblems, we turn a new chapter in our lives. I hope at least a new page. And I'm hoping that we get away from so many things that are in this age that are they're carnal to the extent that they pass away. That they're not going to, they don't have any permanency. Whereas this word has a permanency. The life that's in this word in us and we obedient to it and growing in grace, that's a permanent thing. That's a thing that's there for all eternity. So let's look at that tonight as we meet around the table of the Lord and then we go home and take our rest in the Lord. So let's at this time rise that we might have the brethren come forward. Now, if we come from this side like we do and then pass around to the outside wall, we won't get in people's way there. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that Your word is true, Lord. And we know that these emblems here mean so much to some people and so little to others. And Lord, if anybody would have a claim to truth, we believe that we have a claim. And we trust that it's not a false claim, it's not a false hope, but it's a reality. When we take this as the communion, is it not the blood of Christ, the blood that was shed? The bread, is it not emblematic of the body that was broken? That we, Lord, are literally living on Him, who is the living Word. And what we do, Lord, here, though symbolic, is not a matter of just some formula or some little form, but it goes back to what really occurred when Jesus Christ died upon Calvary. His body was given for us, and His blood was shed for the remission of sin, to wipe away all sin. And we know that where remission of these is, there is no further remission because there isn't any necessity. Because even as You said, Lord, in Your own word, if a man is clean, he's clean all over. That's what Jesus said. He didn't have to wash any more than the feet. And Your cleansing, Lord, we know, has separated us and made us clean. And may we thereby tonight as we partake realize this, that this is looking back upon what was efficacious for us. And is even now even more exceedingly efficacious for us at this time as we walk in the light, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this word, which is a living word, we partake, is bread unto us, whereby we live, building us up in the most holy faith, giving us strength, even, Lord, unto healing for those that require healing and need it tonight. Grant, Lord, that our strength may come from You, internally and externally, so that the whole is of Thee, Lord. If there be any here amongst us whose sin should be forgiven, Father, we pray that every single one of us would receive the cleansing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the mercy of our great High Priest, even Jesus Christ Himself, so that we be entirely renewed tonight, Lord, as a people, each one of us, even individually, so that we can walk, Lord, cleansed by the shed blood, filled by the blessed Holy Spirit, to give us strength, Lord, our ears filled with Your word, Lord, as we listen to You, our eyes beholding You, our mouths proclaiming Your glory, truly temples of the Holy Ghost, dedicated unto Thee,
making not just a temple of the Holy Ghost, but living members, a living temple unto the living God, which will someday be New Jerusalem. Father, we're looking to you for that tonight, and trusting now as we partake of the emblems, Lord, which you've blessed to us, that we will be more confirmed than ever in this faith which is in Christ, and the walk which is in Christ Jesus, according to the word which has been revealed, Lord, not only through revelation, but vindication. And we give thee the praise, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. It's at this time. Tomorrow morning we have service at 10 o'clock, and so we'll be with you tomorrow morning. Heavenly Fathers, we are about to go on our way home, Lord. We pray that you'll be with us to give us the peace of heart and mind and our bodies, Lord, to have a good night's rest, Lord, where the peace of God itself is paramount, to still our souls and get them quiet before you, that we might know the things of God more perfectly and enter more into your rest. And also, Lord, to be more fully aware of and obedient to that which might be incumbent upon us. Open our eyes to it, O God, and also to the strength that we have within us that you gave us in order to accomplish whereunto you set it forth within our lives, that we might be truly the living church of the living God. Heal the sick amongst us, Father. Give great joy to the people, knowing that time is rapidly drawing nigh when there must be an exodus. Unto thee we give the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Here, in the book of Matthew, for a communion service, and it says here in the 27th chapter of Matthew, in verse 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. and sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And remember that the Jews tried to change that, and they said, well, say that he said he was the King of the Jews. And he said, no, it's what I've written, I've written. He said, I'm not going to change it. See, the man had something that even as a heathen, a political heathen, that's all he was. I think that Herod and those guys would make a good Clinton. You know, they can quote scripture and everything else, and they, I really mean that. I'm not being derogatory. I mean, it's just what I'm looking at. It's a terrible situation here in America. A man gets up and he quotes the book of Galatians, and then he goes out with everything he's doing. You realize that there's nothing in this world that we reap without sowing. And he quotes it. And he's leading America right down the primrose path to destruction. And he's got the women's vote. He's got it on murder. And the reason they're murdering through abortion is because his pastor told him a baby doesn't have a life until he breathes, because that word spirit is pneuma, which really means air. And Brother Branham said the same thing, but he didn't say what that man said. They accused him. Brother Branham, when that Mormon fellow said the child was stillborn, he said, you will meet it in heaven. See? So you deal with the spirit, that's true, but you're dealing with the soul and the body. So you see, and what are they going to do? They'll end up like Israel, eating their flesh. You remember Israel, the time of the Samaria, they were completely enveloped by the enemy, and the one mother said, well, I'll roast my baby today and you roast yours tomorrow. And so they roasted the baby, and the next day it came time for the other woman to roast her. She wouldn't do it, so she went to the king, and she said, King, this woman owes me that baby. We ate mine yesterday, we want to eat hers today. And the king rent his garments. You watch. Brother Brand said, there's a famine of food coming. And he said, also the word. And I don't believe that was a fluke. I don't believe he meant there's a great big famine of word. Oh, there'll be some food missing too. No, he didn't say that. Prophets don't make mistakes. A big famine coming. Yeah. What did they figure? About 2025, be 75 short. 75% short. And mostly due to logistics. They can't get it shipped out. But what about the fact you don't get any rain, you get drought, you don't get any crops? So what's that? How many tank cars that hold grain do you need to ship the grain when there isn't any? Well, it must need a million tank cars to ship a million non-existent bundles or bushels. Forget it. Anyway. And there were two thieves crucified to them on their right hand and their left. And when they passed by, reviled and wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and build it, in 3 days save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest mocking him said with the scribes and elders, he saved others himself, he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. See, that's a quote from the Old Testament too. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, see, the reason that they crucified him was a complete misunderstanding of the word of Almighty God. That's what you got today. The word was completely in the hands of everybody but prophets. The Sanhedrin was now a complete political entity. State and religion was one. And they were already completely governed by Rome, that granted them the ability to do what they're doing. And that's what you got right today, in the time when they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. And they've done it already. And remember, from that point on, there is no repenting. You know, people say they believe this message already have their ear punched with Jesus only. I can prove it to you. I can bring it right here. I got a little black brother from New York. Preaching in Indiana. He talked to one of the brethren from Canada. One was Jesus only all his life. The other just turned Jesus only. And after me talking to the one guy for an hour and a half, he couldn't understand. He never will. I don't suppose. I don't know. It's up to him and God. He said, Leviel preaching two gods. And this brother said, I want to tell you something. I'm preaching exactly what Leviel preaches. I'm not preaching two gods. And it's Brother Branham. Quote Brother Branham. See, they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. The crucified word is in our midst today. See, the whole thing is gone. We take communion, and by the grace of God, we are not of that group who will not take communion in the millennium. Remember, there's a vast throng that will not take communion in the millennium. They'll never even get there. Their end will be the lake of fire. That's nothing we rejoice in, nothing we have anything to do with. This is all the sovereign act of Almighty God. And the actual truth of the matter is this. If the message today did not set forth God as 100% sovereign, there would be no use even trying to believe any message, because it isn't one. Because God means sovereign. You don't tell him anything. You don't twist his arm. You have one job, and that's listen. And the thing formed cannot say to that which formed it, why hast thou made me thus? As Paul said, who art thou, a man, to reply against God? Paul could have tried to give some great big reason, some great big rigmarole. He said, who are you to reply against God? That's what we look at tonight. We are here tonight because it's been predestinated to God. We were with the same crowd, but we came up from that crowd. Not one of us is in any danger of blaspheming the word. How could we? It's not in a child that which is born of God cannot sin. No unbelief. It believes it. It receives it. Then it's up to God to do the rest. Let's rise at this time for the communion service and foot washing. And the brethren come forward, of course. Of course, we have one that serves the bread and two that serves the wine, making it easier. You can come on both sides of the communion table up here in order to pass around the side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commend this and commit this part of the service into your hands, knowing, Lord, that looking way back at the time of the crucifixion, they did not know what they were doing. And even at the time of the taking emblems, they did not know what they were doing. They did not understand. But Father, if any people should have an understanding, It is we of this hour who have been given you yourself to come down and help us with this word to know the truth as it was in Christ Jesus and fully manifested. Father, if we're lacking anything, forgive us. Cleanse us, we pray, by the blood tonight, O Lord. Fortify us by your Spirit, that the word with the Holy Spirit in it will dwell up within us, dwell richly within us, and we therefore then dwell richly in you as those who behave themselves seemingly and are good to emphasize the conformity which is in Jesus Christ. So help us tonight, Father, wherein we miss, to make it up, and wherein we have, may it become more abundant. And may we also, therefore, show forth your praises as never before. And unto you we give the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dismissed. Trust you all have a good night's rest and see you tomorrow morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be with your people, whom we dearly love, Lord, because we all love the same word, knowing once more, as the prophet said, so truly how you ought to love each other, you that love this same word. And Lord, we're grateful for that. Now may our hearts expand one toward another, and the grace of Almighty God shine forth through us. And also, Lord, take a proper attitude toward everything within your kingdom, great and small, bond or free, even those, Lord, who are possessed of the enemy. We ask you, Father, that our lives and our hearts may be such. We embrace all men as we would want others to embrace us, that is to show forth kindness, consideration, love, and temperance, and in what may be, Lord, to give glory to your name, and also peace and comfort to our hearts, sowing, Lord, in such a way as to reap which is praiseworthy unto you. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. The brethren come forward. We'll just need a tiny bit of scripture here so that you can change your position if you want. You can rise at this time. That's fine. And I'll just read a tiny little bit here. Let me see. I'll go back to John. And we'll just take a little scripture here. In John 7, and make this our reading, a little, just a tiny comment. In verse 37, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come in unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, Jesus invites them on the strength of his death, the shedding of his blood, that they can actually come to him and receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost, or the indwelling or fulfilling, the filling of the blessed Holy Spirit. The same Spirit of God that was in him to come back upon us. Now, of course, it says right here in the scripture, he cried to them to come and drink. And he spoke this of the Spirit. In other words, he was given permission by God, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, to tell the people, look, there's coming a day that in your coming to me, you definitely will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's a promise that's even greater than being a prophet. Brother Branham said that only a prophet could begin to approximate what you and I have as being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And here he's standing there. And he said, now you receiving me, you believing, he said, you can come unto me positively. Now, he hadn't died, but they were accepting him the best they could, believing that this promise, which I know they didn't understand, and many people don't understand today, because to be baptized with the Holy Ghost is simply to be born again. You know, people have an idea of something different, but it's not so. He's saying here, you come to me, I can guarantee that the Spirit of God will fall upon you if you come to me. That's why he said, no man comes to the Father except by me. So therefore, those people who are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have one thing in mind. And that thing in mind, really, whether they have it in mind or not, the premise stands good that this is so. that the only reason anybody could possibly be filled with the Holy Ghost is because Jesus Christ died upon Calvary, and his sins atoned, his blood atoned for every single one of us. So now with the shedding of blood, there's a complete remission of sin. Now that's how the blood purifies and perfects every one of us. There's a complete purification and remission. Now when there's a complete remission, and the blood has washed away all of our sins, red upon red being white, how in the world could the Holy Spirit not come in? See, this is where people get the fallacy, and they say, well, you got to tarry. You got to do this. You don't have to. You've got to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things, and God does the rest. So if you got a problem tonight, just remember this, word upon word, word upon word, because the word is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. It's just the same, you know, if you wanted to have a special kind of candy with a walnut in the middle, you're going to have to go into that special kind of candy to get the walnuts as sure as your life. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you positively just got to do, based upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, repent, change your mind, be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and from that time on, you're just where you are. You're eating the candy of God. You're eating the life of God, the Word of God, and that life's in there, just like that walnut's in there. You just keep eating that Word, eating that Word, eating that Word. It's doing something to you, whether you believe it or not. Because you see, God cannot fail in His own Word. He stands behind His Word to perform it. So this is what we're celebrating tonight in the communion. We're celebrating the fact of the faithful God, faithful Jesus, who knew the faithful God, who said, you come to me. You don't have to worry. I'm telling you even before I die what lies ahead. I'm telling you even now what lies ahead. And he said, you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That living water is as a fountain, Brother Branham expressed it, bubbling up because there's that life in there. Now let's think for 1 minute. If every single person really believed what God said, just don't try to figure it. Don't do anything but just say, that's what God said. That would flow out of me like a river. What would happen in a church where everybody believing that? What a dynamic flow of the Holy Spirit there would be, of the grace of God, the love of God, and for all we know, even the healing virtue and miracles of God. We don't know. But we know if we believe that and say, I believe it, this is true because it is true. Hey, listen, that's true. I could never deny that. I could never deny. I can never deny the fact I stood there, would never blink for 1 second. The microphone cord wrapped right around Brother Branham. 2 complete circles. And I said, oh God, pull the cord, and it went around his ankles. That's worse than ever now. It's like a fulcrum. You put your hand here, it's easy to pull down. Up here, it's not so easy. See? He'd have fallen over. And as I stood there with spiritual sweat inside my inside brow, the line was straight by his feet. Tell me how it was done. Tell me how it was done. I saw it. So, well, baby, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy. I'll meet you at the white throne. You think I'm kidding? Look at this Bible open before me. Bible said, Word of God, don't swear by the Bible, right? And don't swear by God. Is that true? And by heaven, if Brother Branham could stand this Bible open before me, and knowing there's a God in heaven, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't see one thing. I just saw that cord. No longer wrapped around twice. I wasn't there to see a squirrel created. I was there for something a whole lot greater. Because I stood right there. I don't have to take even a prophet's word for it. Although I'm smart if I do. And I'm humble if I do. And I'm right if I do. And I certainly should. But you'll never tell me about that cord. Thick as my little finger. What happened? He died upon Calvary. Making it all possible. That's why it happened. It couldn't happen without that. God wouldn't be visible without that today. That's why if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And the blood
cleanses. It's a beautiful thought tonight as we take communion, the broken body, the embers, the shed blood, where the life comes back upon the little loaves of bread. We're the bread of God, you know, in a certain way. So that's it. So the brethren are here to serve now. We'll just pray over the emblems and you can come forward. Where's who's going to, right? Who's all serving? You're in here? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the emblems that you brought before us. Blessing the hands that prepared it, Lord, and the mouths that partake thereof. One also that made the wine, how grateful we are, Lord, that we can have consecrated hands making wine for a little church like this here and sent all the way down from Canada and Erie and different places, Lord. They are so good to us and we appreciate that. Now, Father, we're so happy to all be together as one bread and one life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thereby and therefore partake. And may we in doing so, Lord, have all of our sins washed away. Stand clear before you, perfect by the blood. Perfect in the love of Almighty God, and perfect toward each other. No more foolishness, no more unsoundness amongst us, Lord, but just looking to you now, glorifying your name, helping and loving each other, until the day star gives way to the great, big, glorious sun that will soon shine in our midst as we get taken up in the great rapture to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for your presence, which we know to be true. We thank you, Lord, for rivers of living water pouring out of our being. It's true, Lord. And surely it is as we give forth this word more and more voluminously, more and more carefully what rivers of life they are, blending together until soon there's waters to swim across, yea, beyond that waters to carry us over, and surely it will, right into the glorious resurrection. So bless us together, Lord, and help us again, we pray. If we've got aught against anyone against us, Lord, you're truly forgive now. Clear all the things away, all the cobwebs, anything that's nasty or not upright, and just have a complete restoration and leave it all in your hands, as we had to leave in your hands for Calvary, and arise again. How true now to leave this in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lloyd's going to lead some songs here, and the brethren come forward, and you know how to come from the back and around. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your kindness to us, Lord, where we can come together and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth and according to revealed truth, Lord. We pray that you cleanse our hearts, all the necessary things within us, Lord, and bring our minds under perfect subjection to your word. We pray for good night's rest tonight, Father, bringing us together and helping us to serve you more firmly than ever in our lives, Father, as the prophet said, to be more and more sincere. So we just thank you for your grace as we go our separate ways to come again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. I'm going to look at the book of 1 Corinthians. We go there most of the time, of course, to view the Lord's Supper, where Paul said, I received this of the Lord. And you'll notice if you compare this diligently with the Gospels that this stands out as the definitive revelation. It's not that the other isn't definitive revelation, it's that the other is an account by the scribes who set it down. But this is the definitive revelation where a man received something from God and went before the people and said, I'm vindicated. And if any man thinks that he's a prophet, either major, a word prophet, or fivefold, or reduce it down to the laity, just anybody filled with the Holy Ghost, let him acknowledge. Let him take everything I said as the utterance of God, and let him superimpose it upon everything he thought or does think, until there's nothing left but God's word in preeminence, and that's a part of him, and he's a part of it. Now, that's exactly the truth. So, you ought to take a deep breath and look inside your hearts and your minds. You're entitled to do it now. Because this word that I'm talking is no different. When Brother Branham stood before and discerned the thoughts and intents of men's hearts, according to Hebrews 4 and 12. And you're just as naked tonight as you were back there if you saw him and heard him? And I guess there's a few here that did, not too many, saw and heard him. You're just as naked to the eyes of God now as you were then. There isn't any difference. Because this word is the discerner. And it was merely the life of that word, God himself, that proved Hebrews 4 and 12. The same as it proved Hebrews 6, Matthew 25, Luke 17, right on down the line, making no difference. No difference between Paul and William Branham, none at all. Not at all. One received it, one re-received it with revelation for this hour. And took us right on to the book of Revelation. I received the Lord that which I delivered also unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft ye drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, if you look at the fact that this was given to him by revelation, and he was vindicated by revelation, or rather, his revelation was vindicated, so that Paul and the gospel was entirely vindicated as to being entirely of God, that this was God. If you don't see that, you can't take the Lord's Supper. Because, you see, it's just dumb. It's just plain dumb to take it. You can't take it as though, hey, this is something the Catholic Church put in order or the Protestant put in order. This is something that people died for. Hasn't got a thing to do with it. Hasn't got a thing to do with it. Paul said for a good man, some would even dare to die. Look at the woman that was kind of mental the other day, 40-some years of age. She poured gasoline on herself in front of a peace emblem. What university was that, she said? Remember? Kentucky or somewhere. Wasn't very far from here, I think. And she lit a match and went up in flames. What good did it do? Sideshow doesn't get you anywhere. Some great act doesn't get you anywhere. Some theory and some fable or some rite we've been going through for years and years. Look at water infant baptism, the stupidest thing in the world. There's no such thing as infant baptism. A baby can't repent, none to repent from. What stupidity. The blood covers the baby. So it's when you see, as we see, we're back with Paul taking communion. When I was there, and I know Bill and Mary were there, and I know Norman was there at times, and I think Rose and Lee were there also down there in Jeffersonville. Whether you all took communion or not, I'm not sure. I'm almost positive Bill did. And Mary did. Norm, were you down there for services at that time? Easter time, communion and all? Well, if you were there taking communion, there's no different at all as if Paul was giving us communion. No different. Absolutely no different. Then when you begin to talk about that, then you go back to Wesley and Luther and Martin and Columba, Arrhenius, all the way through. You're part of the great host that will take this in the millennium. Why? Because you're part of it. How can you escape what you're part of? How can you escape your revelation? The man and the message is the same thing. The man and the revelation is the same thing. So here we are. So, now this Lord's Supper we're looking at.
was the climax or end of Jesus' entire ministry of doing and teaching. There wasn't anything beyond it. You say, well, he did mend the ear of the priest's servant when Peter cut the ear off, put it back on. That was merely incidental. That wasn't really part of the ministry, although he did it. You could say it was a part, but let's face it. The ministry was actually over of doing and teaching, and the doing was the vindication of the teaching, and that people said, we'll kill him for his teaching. The doing is fine, but kill him for the teaching. You understand what I'm saying? That's exactly what you're looking at today. So, all right. Now, it's all finished, and there's nothing left to be done. And it's staggering in its simplicity is this Lord's Supper. One would think he would set forth himself and his ministry in some grand finale performance. But here is the time he is now facing the bewildering experience of betrayal, abandonment by God, and the terrible trial and scourging and crucifixion and death. And he had now to confront his disciples that it was time to go, and this would be their final hour together as they knew him and his ministry. But be not deceived. This was also the last hour that Elohim, veiled in human flesh, would consort with his own upon earth at that time, for God left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And at that time, when he does this, he reveals his purpose in the death of his son. And he reveals it in the Lord's Supper here, the broken body and the shed blood. And Paul gives the revelation of it, and Brother Branham came and fleshed out what you do not find in the Bible, which is the truly great revelation of it all. And Brother Branham took it from various portions of Scripture in the book of Matthew, and that was the fact that Jesus said, you can, in Matthew 12, he said, you can blaspheme me, but there's coming a time when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you'll never be forgiven. And we've come to that time at the end time again, where people deny what has taken place by God himself through a man's ministry when God incarnated himself in flesh in a measure not of Christ. I never go that far, but it's the same God. But he never did all those things through Jesus, neither was the man virgin born, so there's a difference all the way through it. But it's the same God. It doesn't matter how he comes. He came the way he's supposed to come. His brother Branham said, when you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, that's with the prophet. You see this here, you realize at the end time, there'll be people drinking to themselves damnation because they don't discern the truth that there is one God. This was the Lamb that shed his life, his broken body, the life to come back upon the people until the life giver himself comes back and ends it all. And at that time, there's a division once more over the word. Not over the gifts and miracles. No, no, no. Because after Brother Branham, gifts came into preeminence as they had never come into preeminence. Amen. They were merely talked about and thought about. Once in a while, something was seen. But now there's a flamboyant display on in churches and on platforms, on television, all around the world, winning converts by the millions. And I'm not against it. That's the way it should be. But that's not the scripture for the virgin bride. So here we are at the end time. When people again turn down the word and crucify the word, not realizing, although they profess very high-mindedly and with a display of power emanating from Mark 16, they will declare to you that we will be in that millennium and we will eat and drink anew in the kingdom of Almighty God. But brother, sister, as eight people made the ark, you better make up your mind, what is it that divides the eight from the rest who didn't make it?
When you can tell me that or tell yourself that, then you have the one answer that is 100% correct, and no other answer is correct. And you cannot take a word, you cannot add a word. And what is the difference? The word separating. And what brings the bride together? The word bringing together. What did Brother Branham say in 2 Thessalonians was? By our gathering together to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that's the message. He never quoted Matthew, how oft would I gather you? As a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, I sent you prophets and wise men and scribes. I sent you the prophet with a ministry. You wouldn't listen. You're not listening now. Who's listening? Somebody's got to listen. I know someone has to listen because there are sheep out there hearing the voice. Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And now what's the voice be doing? Coming behind saying, this is the way. Keep walking. Keep walking. Brother Branham said, just live good Christian life. Keep listening for the voice. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep going. Just keep going. Yeah. Someday the silver cord will break. And I no more as now shall sing, but oh the joy when I wake within the palace of the King. Open mine eyes that I may see visions, O Christ. Not of Calvary anymore. We're celebrating that tonight. But open my eyes to the truth what Calvary purchased for me. The purchase price. Open mine eyes to the inheritance of Christ and the saints, which is the revealed word. Open mine eyes that I may really see the gold tried in the fire. I might not be found naked in His presence. We're not naked in His presence, no. We were without faith when He came, but that's a thing of the past. We're now in the military, the army of God, under direct command of God Himself. There won't be one that's lost. Let's rise at this time when the brethren come forward. We'll just ask the Lord to bless them. Heavenly Father, we pray now that You'll bless the emblems, the actual partaking of these emblems, Lord, which we know that by vindication, by Your own word, Lord, coming to pass according to the word You set forth through the prophets, never changing, that immutable word of Yours, Lord, how it comes, how it's interpreted. We know that this is all there is, and these are our thoughts, Lord, and no other thoughts as far as we know. Trying to get everything in line, Lord. The mind completely repentant. The word completely ours, and we completely the words, and all completely God's. We're looking at that tonight as we partake, that we have a right to do it. Help us, Lord, to not only do it by pure revelation, but even as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in it. And if we're not walking according to the truth tonight, or our lives are lax in any manner, and we're not living those good Christian lives, Lord, as we ought to, that there be profanity in our minds, our hearts, or our mouths. Cleanse us, Lord, even as our souls are cleansed tonight and the life is in there. That the life may come forth, that we walk in the light, even as You are in the light, and have fellowship one with another, and the blood cleansing, even as we partake tonight. Help us to that end, Lord. That's all we desire. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Yes. Again, Heavenly Father, we approach Thy throne of grace and compassion, Lord. We thank You for the hours we spent here together. Now as we go home, Lord, may we go in the peace of Almighty God and in His strength. And may our physical strength be renewed tonight, Lord, as we slumber and sleep. May the grace of God keep and protect us, bringing us back together to fellowship in Your word, Lord, and to serve You more graciously and help each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Communion a while ago, that is before I left here, and they all slipped my mind. But the slipping of my mind isn't anything too bad, really. But we're going to just take a little look here. And we want to
go to a very strange place. And the strange place, believe it or not, is Revelation chapter 13, which is the United States, 13 colonies, 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13 everything. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Names of blasphemy and blasphemous names. And they are blasphemous names. Pentecost, Baptist, Methodist, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventist, you name it. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, as Daniel's vision repeated, the feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power in his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Of course, we know that was the Roman Empire came back to life under Papal Rome. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There is given unto him mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power is given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, overcome them, and power was given over all him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth in captivity shall go to captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now you notice in there, there's a little interjection of something which is very wonderful and vital. And it says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now that goes with the verses above, and it's pretty horrible. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, I'm putting the Lamb's book of life and the blood together. And you know, except that we had the definitive revelation from the definitive God who vindicated himself to the prophet, vindicated the prophet to us, and vindicated the living Word of God as to be the real and perfect revelation of that Word, so that that which is perfect has come, we would not be anything but a part of this. We would be a part of that. And the reason we are not a part of it is because it tells you here, the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that's what we are looking at. We are looking at a man named Christ Jesus, who was the tabernacle of God until the Garden of Gethsemane, who, when he was with the disciples just previous to entering the garden, took bread and broke it and passed it around and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And then he took the wine and he gave each one a drink from the goblet and he said, drink this. He said, this is the life that was shed forth and spent for you, and you're to drink this in remembrance of me. And he said, I won't drink this again until I drink this and you, with you in the kingdom. And there's a promise there. Now, you'll notice in here that every single thing which is in the book of Revelation, all these plagues, all the judgments, every single thing devolves upon everybody but those whose names are in the Lamb Book of Life, slain from before the foundation of the world. So therefore, you're looking at a people who are identified with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the breaking of the body and the shedding of the blood. And in there, they are the only ones who are sheltered. They're sheltered as they were in Egypt when the death angel came. The death angel came knocking at the door, and nobody would answer because he couldn't knock on the door, really. If he tried, it wouldn't do any good because there was blood upon the doorpost and the lintel. Not on the place, not on the threshold where you could walk over it. Because you cannot walk, trample underfoot the blood of the covenant, which is a sacred thing. If you ever trample the blood of the covenant underfoot, it is because you deny the covenant. Now, many people say, well, I would never deny the covenant. I would never trample underfoot the blood of the covenant. I would never trample underfoot that blood. I love the blood. I'm happy. Then what about that? I want to know some answers. I'm not a person happy to just, you know, play around the edges. I've got a very inquiring mind and a very analytical mind, and also I've got a hunger. It's not just a human thing, it's a hungry thing. Before I had an analytical mind, I wondered about God. I marveled about things, and I never could get answers. But I've got answers today, and I get all the answers because all the answers are given. And I want to know how anybody can honor the shed blood, can take communion, and dishonor that.
Because you understand what I'm saying? The great tribulation is upon us. The judgment has taken place. The world is condemned. The bride is avenged by exoneration. She'll soon get out of here. And the only ones that will not take that and be a part of it, or actually give their lives for it, and some of us may even give our lives before time, we're going to be brought down to straitened condition. It won't be just, hey, boy meets girls and goes to bed and have a great time. Hey, man meets boss and goes out and has a great time having a liquor fest and meets more women. It's not going down here and getting a car because you're on Oprah's program or somebody. Don't think for one minute this is going to be a Sunday school picnic. We're going to face it. Brother Branham said, I would sooner undergo, he said, the oath of Columbus perpetrated upon me, the Knights of Columbus. And you know what's in that. Some of you have read it. He said, in 5 minutes in the Great Tribulation. So you're not a Sunday school picnic. The squeeze hasn't even come down to a hill of beans yet. And the point is, I'm saying this and I know that I'm right. There isn't any bride who isn't under that blood. And there isn't anybody that's under the blood but will receive the Holy Spirit sealing him in. See? I'm not talking about something false. I'm not talking about little things that people speak in tongues and have sensations and all. I'm talking about reality where the mind has become a stone set with the Word of God. The heart's become a rock. I don't talk about iron, we talk about rocks. God was a big rock, or Jesus was a little rock. And they think we got rocks on our head. They're wrong. We got a head like a rock. We got a heart like a rock. We're built on the rock. And if you're built on the rock, it better be rock. So here's these people taking communion. And they're saying, we're going to be in the kingdom with him taking communion. We're going to be this, we're going to be that. I got news for them. So I'm trying to show you where we are today and how serious this is. That these emblems which we take mean something. Whether they mean something to us where we want to scream out in sorrow against what they did to Jesus. We used to do that years ago in Pentecost. I know we used to get a spirit of sorrow come upon us like now they got a spirit of laughter. Everybody's going ha ha ha, having a great time, cackling away. Thousands come together just to cackle like a chicken that didn't even lay an egg. Here they are cackling away. We used to cry and cry and cry. It was good, you know. Kind of washed everything out. Didn't do one thing to renew the mind. A little emotion. You know, a little whipped cream on the frosting. Like little, you know, your hand gets burned, a little cream does it good. Not as good as some salve like aloe. You know, little lotion, little emotion. I'm not against it. It's fine. I love the Lord. And I saw it that they killed him and all. I did. But you know, God wanted that. The Bible said God was satisfied through his death. And he saw it was accomplished. And you know tonight when we take communion, it was already ordained before one person set foot on this earth. The blood. Don't just talk about the blood. That's the start. But if you don't start with the blood, you get nowhere. The thing is the Holy Spirit coming. And what I just said tonight, what Brother Branham said, if you believe Genesis 18, you believe that that's Hebrews 13 and 8, and you believe that's John chapter 4, and you understand that's John 14 and 12, you go right on down the line, right back to Malachi, crisscross to John 13, 20, 15, 23. I better check that out again. I'm going to give you a bum steer on that because that's a tough one. I think it's John 15. Yeah, 23. John 15, 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, that they had, then they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. See, now he said here, but of all these things, I went down here. No, if I have not done among them the works which no other man did, they have not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Do you realize anybody outside this message actually is in a position to hate God? How much hatred do we get when people turn and say, oh, you people believe in two gods, ha, ha, ha. We don't believe in two gods. What are you talking about? I'm not so dumb I can't count. Father, Son. than the rest of the kids. I'm not so stupid. Yet they think we are. And they can't teach against us except they're foolishly. So they begin jeering and saying, ha, ha, ha. And one guy even says, well, I heard Brother Bale say so. Now there's two of us. I'm quoting Brother Branham. He's supposed to love Brother Branham and listen to him. I want to know some answers. I'm not going to get it from those guys. Let me tell you something. Before the foundation of the world, this supper tonight was ordained. And you know something? The kingdom of heaven has come nigh. Yep. Do you think Jesus could have said that had God not been in him? Oh, my brother, my sister, how wrong you are if you think he could have said it just as a mere prophet. No, 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 no. Many prophets there were. It took God incarnate to bring out that ministry and say, the kingdom of heaven is nigh. Yeah, Brother Branham could say the same thing, we too. And taking the Lord's Supper proves we're all a part of it. It doesn't prove as though we have it, but I mean to say, to understand the light in which we're doing this and to see from before the foundation and say, yes, Lord, I understand your death upon Calvary. I understand the shed blood. I understand how God was in you and how you were left there. How you sweat as it were great drops of blood. How you know you said, not my will, but thine be done. I know you learned obedience by suffering. Strange and hard to understand, but I know that. I know you remembered all things, and yet you went right ahead. I know that, Lord, and I know you died for one reason, to shed your blood, that I might have forgiveness of sins, and then forgiveness of sins to allow the Holy Spirit to come in, which would lead me into all truth. And when your word came, I would know it. And I know you're identified, and I'm identified. And now I can offer back to you my word, as the prophet did. And as Jesus did, offer it right back, the words you gave me, showing you my part, my confession, I'm one with you. What more can a person say? I'm my Father or one. I preached like this some long time ago. The man said, next thing leave, he'll be saying, I and my Father are one. The man said he believed Brother Branham.